Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, it seems that there's been a theme tonight, listening to the mid-service prayer and even Elder Vicky singing tonight for those that have been waiting a long time. I pray over them, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. I pray that, Lord, where the spirit has just gotten tired and fainting, I pray tonight, let there come strength. Just a new strength, oh God. I pray that you would increase their faith to say, God, I believe you. I trust you. Do it again, Lord God. Would you just lift your hands and say, God, I receive strength. God, I receive strength tonight. I receive strength. To my spirit that has been fainting, to my spirit that is, even my heart that is wanting to give up, I receive strength tonight. Lord, I receive it tonight. I think of things that I'm praying for, and I receive strength tonight, Lord God. So, Father, tonight, would you just come and do something special in this place? Lord, let this be an encouraging night in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. What a great joy. Thank you so much. So great to see. Let me ask you this question. Anybody here that was crazy enough to make it out Sunday in that snow to church, would you raise your hand? I told somebody, this church, it'll be snowing, but they will show up for service. And what a time we had. It was just an amazing time. So thank you. Thank you for getting through the snow, and thank you for getting through the cold. Those that are watching around the country and around the world, you may have experienced it. And some of you don't realize that we have not only had a huge snowstorm, they're even saying there may be another one this weekend. Can you just say, not in this place, in Jesus' name, no. So let me just welcome those watching around the world from their warm nations. Let me just welcome all those. We say hello to live with us, Tunisia, Rwanda, Kenya, New Zealand and Australia, India, the Philippines, Malaysia, and South Korea. We say hello to India, the Philippines, Malaysia. We also welcome Finland, the Netherlands, Sweden, Ireland, Canada, Panama, St. Kitts and Nevis, Barbados, Jamaica, the U.S. Virgin Islands. Live with us is French Guiana, Dominican Republic. We welcome Suriname, Bolivia, Argentina, Peru, Uruguay, and Venezuela. Would you welcome all those that are watching? Some 28 states. What a blessing. Now, just before we pray for the message, I want to just say something to you just for a moment. There are times, I'll just say this, I've got tens of thousands of books in my library, and one of my favorite things to read is I'd much rather read a biography of a leader than read a leader's leadership book. And there's a reason for that. Let me explain that for just a moment. Leadership books give you the answers, but they never tell you the process. They never walk you through just all that happened. When you read a real life, you get to see how they journey through tough times, family times, doubt, struggle. Like we've heard tonight, waiting for God to answer prayer. Biographies make you work through a life and going like, I know that. I know that battle. That's why to read something like Surprised by Joy, the biography of C.S. Lewis and how he went from atheism to becoming a Christian is a miracle story. It's unbelievable. To read the story called Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas, to read that story and to see how this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, began to stand firm even in Nazi Germany, to read the stories of Hudson Taylor and George Mueller is so challenging. And tonight, I want to really do that. I want to give you a biography that I was struck with just yesterday and started a journey to study this man's life. This man penned these words, and then we're gonna pray. Let me read them to you. This man said these words. He says, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. And this man didn't know it of what was gonna happen to him. Let's pray. Father, I'm just gonna ask you right now that you would instill faith in this place. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And we thank you for that, God. Do something special here tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Before you sit down, listen, somebody needs a smile, a handshake, or a hug. Would you turn to two or three people and just say, I'm so happy to see you tonight. And then we're going to get ready to go into the Word. I want you to get ready to write with something, because I want to walk you on a biography tonight. I want to walk you on a journey that I discovered yesterday, and I just couldn't stop really just looking at this. I remember Jerry Bridges, great author, saying these words. He says, your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days, you are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. So whether you're at your worst or at your best, how many know we need God's grace? And someone's grace journey on finding God can give you hope for you and even give you hope for others that we've heard tonight that maybe you're praying for, that you don't think that they can find that grace. But I want to give you some hope tonight. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus in the same house? That would be tough. I love Jesus, but I would never want to hear, why can't you be like your brother? Let me just tell you this. This man was a mocker. He was a cynic. He becomes a Christian. He becomes a pastor, a New Testament writer, and finally a martyr for the one that he started off mocking at the beginning of his life. We talk a lot about the Apostle Paul's conversion, that this Christian killer has a vision on the road to Damascus and becomes this great evangelist. But I think James, the brother of Jesus, his story may even be more dramatic. And it's the first time I think I've ever said this. Something happened to this man so dramatic that I think it was so, the study for me was so fulfilling that it gave me hope for others. It gave me hope for things that people I've been praying for. Because it's not often that we get to follow this kind of journey through the scriptures. To watch a critic become a Christian, then a Christian answer his calling, and then from calling to an author to a martyr. When James wrote his epistle, he says something in James 4 that I have to believe he was shaking his head, saying to himself, I know that's right, when he says these words, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to such and such city, spend a year there, we're going to engage in business and even make a profit. And then James says, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. And then he says, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. This is amazing. This man who could have made all these plans from his cynic and mocking and unbelief that Jesus was the Son of God and never know what this journey was going to take. He didn't know what tomorrow would be like. It's interesting to me that right in the middle of the word life are the letters if. Think about it, because it's just the uncertainties. Life is full of those ifs, the uncertainties. Proverbs, right before James writes these words, a rich man in the Old Testament writes these words, never brag about the plans you have for tomorrow, for you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring you. James and Solomon were saying, be careful about boasting with no thought. Be careful about boasting on the uncertainty of life. Or the complexity of life. You never know what tomorrow holds. On the bad side, you don't know if tomorrow holds a job loss, a bad semester, an affair, a disease. Could be a hurricane, a tsunami, and even a death. That's the bad part. But you don't even know if tomorrow holds. There could be a pregnancy, a new love, a new church, a new friend, acceptance letter to a university, or an acceptance to a new job. Life is uncertain, but you seem, he says, James says, life is uncertain, but you seem to be so certain about tomorrow. And James cautions the people, the Christians even, in verse 13, when he says those words, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, look at the things he says. We're going to go to this city, spend this much time there, engage in this business, and we're going to make a profit. I love how it starts because he starts with these two words, come now. Those two words, it's the only place in the entire Bible that these words occur. So in 66 books, and those that are in chapter by chapter know there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. This is the only verse in all those books, in all those chapters, that this word occurs, that this phrase indicates something important. When James says, come now, he was basically saying this, you better sit up and pay attention for what I'm about to tell you. Come now means let's get real and let's get serious about what's to take place. He says, five things caused James to go, come now. Think about it. They boasted of when, today or tomorrow, where, such and such city, how long, we're going to spend a year, doing what, engaging in business, and the results, we're going to make a profit. James goes, come now. That all of a sudden, you know all of that? You have no idea what tomorrow will bring. You've just said, we're going to this city, we're going today or tomorrow, we're going to spend this much time, engage in this kind of business, and we're going to make a profit. And James is shocked, going, come now. You are that certain about the uncertainty of life. It's amazing to me. Let me just give you, if you don't know this, when James says you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow, in just 24 hours, let me give you something that happens in one day on our planet for these people that are so sure of where they're going, what they're gonna do. Listen to this is what happens right now on our planet every 24 hours. Every 24 hours, 365,000 new people are born on our planet. 18 million people will celebrate their birthday. I couldn't believe this. Do you know every day there are 8 million lightning strikes? 8 million. 142,000 new cars roll off a conveyor belt. The world's chickens lay 190 million eggs every single day, and they're still so expensive. I want you to listen to this. Every day, people around the world flush the toilet 22 billion times. 40,000 trees will be cut down to make paper bags, and 27,000 will be felled to make toilet paper. On an average, each one of you will laugh 15 times a day. Your heart will beat 104,000 times a day. Each person will inhale around 23,000 times. There are 93,000 rats will be born in London today. 150 different kinds of plants, insects, birds, and mammals will become extinct because of ecological damage. Each of us will take an average of 8,000 steps. There will be 7 separate earthquakes and 18,000 storms around the world. Your hair will grow 0.3 millimeters. And at the same time, you'll lose 40 to 100 hairs today. Just hold on. Each of you will say about 48,000 words all in one day. So I wanna just say to everybody, come on now. Seriously, you know you're going to this city, going to do this, make a profit, and do this. We know these five things are going to happen in one day. God is not condemning good planning, but he is condemning that God has nothing to say about your plans. God has a lot to say about your future. It's trying to create a future without God. And James says, you forgot something when you begin to do that. And James says, I need to remind you of what you don't know. And here it is. He says, you don't know that what your life will be like tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a while and then vanishes away. He talks about two things. The mystery of life, that's what that you don't know. And he talks about the brevity of life. That's the vapor. He says, you forget life is short and life is a mystery. He says, and so be careful of not including God. God is the factor that changes everything. God is the factor that can come in and do what nobody else can do. No one knew about brevity and mystery of life better than the man who wrote these words. And that's the journey I want to take you on. James is the one who says, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. One encounter with Christ can change your tomorrow and change your forever. One encounter with Christ. James didn't know what his life would be like tomorrow. And all of a sudden, everything changes for him. Let me tell you how his life changed. And I just want to walk you on this journey for a few moments. James goes from becoming a mocker. He is a mocker. Then all of a sudden, in one day, he becomes a Christian. Then he gets a calling of God and he becomes a pastor. And now all of a sudden, he's a writer of the New Testament. And then when all said and done, he becomes a martyr. This is an incredible journey. James could have never scripted this. I want to walk you through his life for just a second to give you hope. And maybe if you're here tonight, to give you a new look that today could be a day that God changes everything for you. So let me just talk about these things. Number one, write them down with me because there's something I want to say to each one. There's a day that James is a mocker. He is a mocker during the life of Jesus. All throughout the Gospels, James is a mocker. He thought Jesus, think about this for a moment. He thought the brother of Jesus thought he was out of his mind. You ready for this? Listen to Mark 3:21. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, charge of Jesus. For they said, what does it say? He is out of his mind. I love the part that says they went to take charge of him, charge of Jesus. They said, we want to help you get things right in your life. You were a little off here. I remember these words from C.S. Lewis, who this Oxford professor who goes from atheist to Christian. He wrote these words about Jesus, who James said is out of his mind. Lewis says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man is the Son of God, a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up as for a fool, you can spit at him, kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come to this patronizing nonsense about him being some great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. He never intended it to be that. He is either Lord, a liar, or a lunatic. And James chose lunatic. James says he's like a poached egg. He lived in the same house as Jesus. He was the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine these men with two different fathers? One from God the Father is his father. The other is Joseph. Worked in the same carpenter shop. And ends up, James ends up with unbelief and mocking. Your own family didn't even believe you were God. Listen to John chapter 7. It even emphasizes it more. Therefore, his brothers, that's James, said to him, leave here and go into Judea. They're speaking to Jesus, so that your disciples may see your works, what you're doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers were believing in him. They were mocking him, saying, go show everybody else what you're doing. Go public with this God thing. Go public. A mocker, I think, is harder to convert than an addict. A mocker is harder to convert than an addict. A mocker is a person who treats others and their ideas with contempt and ridicule. They'll often belittle them and undermine them. This person is committed so much to their point of view that they will make fun of other people and begin to make others feel like that what they believe is not that nonsense. That's James. James is saying this not to a Christian. He's saying this to Jesus. Talk about the depth of mockery. This is James, the brother of Jesus. And what could change this man? What can change the depth of this mockery and unbelief in a man that grew up with Jesus? Well, there was one thing. That's the second thing. Because you never know. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. And it happened to James. He becomes a Christian. And you know how that happens, folks? The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed him. It was, talk about one day. The resurrection, when Christ rose from the dead. I'm not going to read the verse. Let me just read this to the verse to you. 1 Corinthians 15:3. The first thing I did, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, was placed before you. It was placed so emphatically before me that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells us. that he was buried, he was raised from the dead on the third day. Again, exactly as scripture says, he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time. Most of them still around, although a few since have died. And then he spent time with who? James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him. The resurrected Jesus, the brother you mocked, rose from the dead and decided to spend time with you. Wow! I don't know if I'd spend time. I'd go like, I told you I was God's. At 29,032 feet in the air, there is a problem that high up that we have on the streets of New York City. Today, Mount Everest is so full of trash that it's called the world's highest garbage dump today. The garbage on top of Mount Everest today, 29,000 feet high, they said is out of control. They said in 1953, after Sir Edmund Hillary ascended Mount Everest, 4,000 people after him have ascended and climbed Mount Everest. Unfortunately, they have littered this side with garbage, oxygen bottles, ropes, and tents, and have just left it up there. They said that the trash is in the tons on top of Mount Everest today. They said that as there's some snow melting or when the weather changes, it's exposing even more garbage that has been covered for decades. In fact, they said just a few years ago, the government there began to get up 22,000 pounds of trash from the mountain. It's unbelievable. You get to the top, you achieve the goal, you spend the money, you expend the effort, and you find a garbage heap at the top of the mountain. And I'm wondering if that's what James did. James finally gets to the top and he goes, this is it. This is like garbage up here. I wonder if that's what happened to him. I achieved what I wanted, and now I realize it's garbage. But the resurrection of Jesus changes this man that didn't know what to do, where to go, or what to be done. And it's all changed when he sees his brother, this mocker sees the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus, and Paul tells these words, he spent time with James. Didn't just appear with him, spent time with him. I love this. I've done this before. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? I have given people that I've sat with and talked to about Jesus who are atheists, who are mockers on a plane. I've given them and sent them a Bible. And this is what I've told them. Just read the Gospels. What was I telling them? Spend time with Jesus. He'll convince you. Spend every time I've given an atheist, an agnostic, a mocker, a Bible. I always tell them, I just say, I'm going to send it to you. I'll pay for it. I'm going to send it to you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just spend time with Jesus. You don't need to hear me talk to you. Let him talk to you. It was Tim Keller, who pastor here in New York, who's gone to be with Jesus, said this, that when you encounter Jesus, this is what you realize. Listen, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we've ever dared to believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope for. That's what you find when you come to Christ. You come to Christ and you realize I am flawed and messed up, but I am loved and accepted by this Jesus. When you spend time with him, you will realize this. James's conversion is incredible. But then there's this mind-blowing moment that if you spend time with Jesus, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. The mocker becomes a Christian. And then he spends time with him, and now he becomes a pastor. Pastor James. Pastor James is called into the ministry. Like, seriously? I'd be going like, let him go to Teen Challenge or something. I can attest to that. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. When I went to Detroit and spent in my sophomore year summer on a two-month missions trip in Detroit, Michigan, to help the son of our church founder, David Wilkerson, to help his son plant a church in one of the worst projects in Detroit, that we buy a building and plant a church, go witnessing every day. I committed for 2 months, and little did I know that walking those streets every single day witnessing, that I would spend time with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, as I would walk those streets, that God would begin to change my plans and change the script that I have. See, when you spend time with Jesus, you don't know what tomorrow holds. He can change it in a second. And my plans got all messed up from a 2-month missions trip in Detroit. That 2 months, God began to put it on my heart for ministry. I have to believe that James, being a believer, was big enough, but to be called to lead. Listen, he didn't just lead the church. James would be, don't miss this, Times Square. Those that are watching around the country and around the world, don't miss this. Jesus was not just saying, James, you're gonna be a pastor, or Tim, you're gonna go be a pastor in Detroit, and then I'm gonna send you to a different place. He was saying to James, get this, here it comes. You're gonna be the first pastor of the first church that ever existed. I would be going, no, not him, get somebody else. Definitely not Peter, definitely not James, definitely none of these guys. Get John, he hung out at the cross when everybody else left. But not James, the mocker. You can't do that. He would be, Jesus said, you're gonna be the first pastor of the first church that ever exists in the city of Jerusalem. James, the brother of Jesus, becomes the leader. He's the key leader. He's even called a pillar of the church. Think about this. In Acts 15, when they have this big council, whether Gentiles can come into the church and be saved, it was James, the leader now. The mocker Christian is now a leader. Listen to what James says. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. What James says is, listen, you need to understand that God didn't just save us, the Jews. He has saved the Gentiles and turns the whole church from being so secluded from just being Jewish Christians. And it was James, his leadership, that turns everything around. Acts 21:17, the Bible says, after we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us to James and all the elders that were present. James is there leading a church. And then in Galatians 2:9, they recognized the grace that had been given to James and Cephas and John, who had been reputed to be pillars of the church. This is amazing. The mocker of Jesus is a pillar of the church. That's the power of the grace of God in someone's life. I'm just telling you, it brought me hope for those I've been praying for. A mocker to a Christian to a pastor, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Number four, then God says, you're gonna become a writer of the New Testament. You're gonna write 5 chapters in this Bible. James writes to the Christians scattered all over the world facing really tough battles, and he's so practical. If you read James, if you're waiting for chapter to cover James, you only need about 3.5 more years, and then we'll cover the book of James. He talks about how to face battles in chapter 1, how to treat people and not show favoritism in chapter 2. He tells everybody, watch your mouth in chapter 3, how to deal with sin in chapter 4, and the power of prayer in chapter 5. James had no idea that when he was writing to Christians that this would be read for centuries later. This mocker becomes Christian, Christian becomes pastor, and now an author writing didn't realize that God would not only inspire him to write, but would anoint him to write part of the New Testament. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Even when God began to speak to me, I didn't know when God goes, I want you to go on this 4-year journey for chapter by chapter. I want you to write on every chapter of the Bible. Folks, I'm ahead of where we are right now in Genesis. I'm writing in Leviticus. Pray for me. But I'm finding it's coming alive. That I'm seeing chapter by chapter. That's why we encourage you, watching around the world, those that are here, go with us on this journey. Go with us over these next 4 years, 7 minutes a day, seven days a week. We go chapter by chapter. Folks, there's no better book to read than the Word of God itself. And God would take a mocker, make him a Christian. Take a Christian, make him a pastor. Take the pastor and says, write some of the New Testament. And finally, let me finish with this tonight. He says to him, he doesn't tell him, but this man, his faith was so deep. He would die for his faith. He would become what we would call a martyr, a martyr. They know him as the musicians come. They know him as Mr. Beast. His real name is Jimmy Donaldson. And he's become this YouTube sensation. He has this provocative brand of philanthropy. He gives away homes and cars and monies and private islands and lots of cash. But about a year ago, he announced these, the Mr. Beast announced what he called the Beast Games. And thousands of people jumped at the chance. And the prize would be $5 million. $5 million. And this is the part that got me. In the New York Times, they were asking the people, they said, would you be buried alive for this or travel into space? And some of the contestants, for $5 million, they said, of course we would, of course. And they had to sign a contract, and this is the part that got me. They signed a contract, and this is what it said. They signed a contract that says they were willing to die for this. Willing to die for this. $5 million. What? One of the men who has influenced my life, Leonard Ravenhill, said these words, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? Just pause for that. Don't leave that on the screen for a moment. Don't quickly go by that. Because I had a pause there. Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? How many can honestly answer this question? Was Christ's death for you worth what you're living for right now? Is it really worth, is what you have sacrificed and given your life for right now? James's faith was so real that the mocker Christian pastor, author, his faith was so deep and so real that James, the brother of Jesus, would be martyred in 62 AD, about 30 years after his conversion. But this is what's incredible. I was reading about his martyrdom and how he died. James dies because mockers, unbelievers, which James was, you ready for this? This is what history says, threw him from the pinnacle of the temple. Does that ring a bell? Remember Lucifer taking Jesus? And he says, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. His angels will rescue you. Go jump. And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy and says, don't tempt the Lord your God. And I kept thinking about that. Could it be that hell said, we couldn't get Jesus, but let's get his brother. Let's get him to throw, let's throw him off. And the mockers, which James was, maybe even some of the mockers that he hung out with, threw him off the pinnacle of the temple. I think this is good for you to know. What is a martyr? A Christian martyr is one who chooses to suffer death rather than deny Christ. They choose the consequences rather than deny. It doesn't always end up in death. It could be a loss of a job. It could be a loss of a reputation. It could be a loss of a friendship. It could be the loss of your family. But you choose to suffer rather than deny Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, it may come to a point that you're going to have to begin to say, I choose Jesus, despite the consequences. It was Thomas Brooks that talked about these martyrs. And this is what he said. He said, many of history's martyrs went as willingly to die as they did to dine. And they called it their wedding day when they gave up their lives. Let me read that again. Martyrdom is too intense to read quickly. Look at these words. History's martyrs went as willing to die as they did to dine, eat out, because they called the day that they would die their wedding day, the day that they would meet Christ. The problem today with Christians is nobody wants to kill them anymore. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? Because we're not willing to stand. We're not willing to say, regardless of the consequences, I will not budge. I believe in Jesus. I believe in this word. Pastor Tim, that's a little intense on a Tuesday night. Listen, that's the only way we can get this right. We need to be all in with him. The early believers would not flinch. What about those 12 apostles? Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword in a distant city of Ethiopia. Mark expired at Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hung on an olive tree in the classic land of Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil, but escaped death in a miraculous manner, but was banished to the island of Patmos. Peter was crucified in Rome, upside down. James the Greater, not this James, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew bound to a cross when he preached to his persecutors. Thomas was run through his body with a lance in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death. Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was beheaded at Rome by the emperor of Nero. Folks, these people believed. There was a depth to their belief. Stand with me. Every day when Cindy and I, man, my goodness, probably almost 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago, when we were in England, I was at Oxford. Every day to get to my class, I had to pass a memorial. It was called the Martyrs Memorial. The Martyrs Memorial was on that spot. Two godly men went to the stake for Jesus. Two men. Every day I would pass by it. I'd have to walk right through it every day. Ridley and Latimer stood for Christ. Their names would be on it. Their statues would be there right in the center, just a few blocks from the college I was going to. These men died for their faith. And I was reminded, as I'm studying apologetics to defend the faith, these men died for the faith. Seemed a little bit different than what I was doing. I'm learning words to defend the faith. These men actually died for their faith. And when Latimer, I was reading, because I had to read about these two men that stood for Christ and burned at the stake. When Latimer was vacillating on his decision, do I deny Christ? Do I deny Christ? Ridley, it was what who said to him, he says, "Be of good comfort, Mr. Ridley. Play the man." He says, "We shall this day," I don't even know how you say this. He said, "We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England that shall never be put out. When they kill us, this flame will go throughout England." My goodness. I have this large book. I've been reading it every day by a martyr named Jim Elliot. How many ever heard of that name? Jim Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot has preached here before. Jim would die for his faith. And I have a giant book. Anybody can get it. It's called The Journals of Jim Elliot. And he has a prayer in there. He just says this. He says, "Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those I come in contact with to a decision. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. Man, I want that. Make me a crisis man. That when I talk to people about Jesus, they're not just going, 'Oh, that's nice, that's good, that's good.' I want it to be so deep, so anointed, that I'm a fork in the road for people. That's what I want to be." Pastor Tim, that just seems so intense. I'm just telling you, we're in a time, we need real Christians today. We need real believers. And folks, I'm telling you, Can I just speak to those that are online about us here in New York City? And in this city, you better be a real Christian. You've got to stand up for Jesus and this word and who he is. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. James is saying, I know that's a fact. I'm telling you, I was a mocker. Then I saw the resurrected Jesus. And I could see James going, in one day, I went from a mocker to a Christian. One day. From a Christian, and I hear God going, I want you to now pastor the very first church that will ever exist. Tens of thousands of churches in the world. And God goes, you be the first one. I would, wrong man. No, that's the right man. Because I changed, God changed the mocker into a Christian. Changed, took a Christian, got him so serious, he felt the calling of God. Took a man who felt a calling of God, inspired him to write 5 chapters of the New Testament, and said, your faith is gonna be so deep, when you've gotta stand for me, you won't flinch. You are going to stand, even if it costs you your life. You never know what your day will bring. Live for Jesus now. The greatest word of the Bible is this word, today. Hebrews 3:7 says this, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice, the Holy Spirit says, everything can change in a day. Everything can be different tomorrow, but you gotta start with right now. You gotta start with right now. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Maybe you're at the very beginning of this. Maybe you're the one with unbelief. Maybe you're here tonight. Somehow, some friend brought you tonight. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, you're going like, wow, this is intense. This is the church you go to. Or maybe you wandered in here with a friend, and both of you are just going like, where did we just go? We thought this was a free Broadway play. For a moment, you're starting to realize that you being here tonight is not by accident. On a cold night, maybe you came in here going like, it's cold outside. So let's get in here, get warmed up. And somehow when the music started, you just couldn't go. You just couldn't leave. And now the unbelief is being shaken a little bit. Maybe the mocking, oh, those crazy Christians lifting up their hands. Maybe you've done this. You ready for this? Maybe you've done this. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, I know I told you to bow your heads. Look at me. Maybe you've mocked. Maybe you've taken that channel and turned it to some Christian TV. Look at those guys. Ooh, send your money. Do this. Do all that. And all of a sudden, God goes, you never know what today holds. I can change you in a moment. I can change James. I can change you today. You know what this does? I'm telling you, mockers don't make me angry. Mockers to me, I see a bullseye. And I go, God can get a hold of you. Going to church again. Ooh, you're so religious. You better watch out. Mocker to Christian, Christian to pastor, pastor to writer, writer to martyr. Nobody is safe when Jesus is in the room. Nobody is safe when Jesus is in the room. Maybe tonight, start to realize there may be some hope for me tonight. God wants to change you. You don't have to. I'm gonna do this. I just feel strongly to say this. Don't bow your heads, don't close your eyes, because I just wanna speak to someone who's serious to go, Pastor Tim, you are talking to me. And maybe you need to go from mocker to Christian. Unbelief. James was also unbelief. They didn't even believe in him. But maybe tonight you're going, he's real. I spent time with him like James did. I was in his presence tonight. I felt something. That's the second part. Jesus resurrects and says, I'm gonna spend time with you. Everybody else he appears to. James, I'm gonna spend time with you. Who knows what he said, but something was said that changed them. And maybe that's gonna happen to you tonight. Are you here tonight and you're going, Pastor Tim, I got to the top of Mount Everest. My degree took me to the top. I'm on Wall Street. My degree gave me enough of money. My job gave me enough money. I'm here in New York City. My degree gave me enough that I got this apartment where all my friends have to live on the outskirts. I get to live in Manhattan. You know what I found out? Top of Mount Everest is a garbage dump. How many know what I'm talking about? You finally get to the top and you're going, ew, this is who's up here. This is the junk that's up here. This is the garbage. I'm gonna tell you, when you get to the top and find Jesus, I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. That's what the Bible says. Whoever, Romans 10 says, whoever believes in him will never be disappointed. Maybe tonight, maybe just for one person tonight, maybe you are watching, maybe someone had sent you this link and you're watching it on a Tuesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday, on a Saturday. Maybe you're on your way to an airport. Maybe you're sitting on a subway and you're listening to this, or you're here with us tonight. Today changes your tomorrow. And maybe today he wants to change unbelief and work a miracle. Are you here tonight and say, I got to the top. It's not what they said it would be. I want God in my life. Is that you tonight? Is every head up, every eye open? You don't have to be embarrassed. All of us have gotten to our own Everest and have gone, I don't want that. I want the real thing. Maybe that's you tonight. Are you here tonight and say, I need God in my life. I want to tell you there's hope for you. At your best, you need the grace of God. At your worst, you need the grace of God. What does that mean? We all need the grace of God. So if that's you tonight and say, Pastor Tim, would you just pray for me? I want God in my life. Would you raise your hand saying, I need him in my life? Hold it up high. Yes, yes. Keep them up. I want to see those hands. Keep them up. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Listen, if you're serious about this, if this is what you want, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If that's what you're going, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're going like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to be called a mocker. It doesn't matter. You're going, I want the real thing. All I can do is point you to Jesus. Does this church have problems? Yes. If you come to this church and go like, this is the perfect church, hold on, we'll show you our Mount Everest garbage real quick. How many can say amen to that? We've got Mount Everest garbage here. I want you to listen to me. But I'm telling you, I'm not here to introduce you to this church. I'm here to introduce you to Jesus. That's the meaning. So, if you've raised your hand, or if you didn't and you should have, would you? I want us to sing that song, I Have Decided. Would you do me a favor? We've never done this on a Tuesday night. I'm gonna walk down here. Would you get out of your seat and meet me right here? I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. Come on, if you raise your hand, meet me right here. I'm gonna walk down.
No.
I love my story of my new friend, Patrick. From first time here, I said, how'd you get here? He said, I looked you up on the internet. I said, where are you from? He goes, I live here now, but I'm from Brazil. And God has a work for you. God's gonna touch you, every single one of you. God is gonna do a work. And then my new friend here, you said your friend invited you. I said, that's a good friend. Don't lose that friend. That's part of it. I want us to pray. I want us all to pray for you. Those in this church, would you just stretch out your hand towards these? Maybe some of our elders or something. Just put a hand on her shoulder here. Just put a hand on her shoulder so everybody knows that somebody is there for them. Somebody is there for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to make sure that we have a chance to pray for you. Father, these precious people that are coming for the first time, you can change mockers into Christians. Christians into, God, even pastors. Pastors, God, into writers and writers into martyrs. So, Father, for everyone that's down here tonight, I'm praying for a miracle in their lives. As they're responding, saying, God, you're here. I sent your presence. You're going to spend time with me tonight. It's going to change. From my new friend Patrick to everyone that's up here that has come, Father, let tonight be the life-changing night for them. Let them know there's enough grace of God to change. No matter what the past has been, we never know what tomorrow will be. But God, I'm believing their tomorrow is going to be amazing. Because they don't go into tomorrow by themselves. They go in tomorrow with Jesus. So Father, start your work in them. Can we all pray this together? Come on, let's say this out loud. Say, Jesus, you change tomorrow. I choose you today. Come into my life. Change me from the inside out. You died on the cross, rose from the dead, and you want to spend time with me. And if I spend time with you, I will never be the same. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. You can change me. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and change my tomorrow. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Good news. Good news for everybody that's up here. Here's the good news. When you get to the top with Jesus, there's no garbage. It just gets better and better with Jesus Christ. Better and better. If you made that decision, for those that are online or wherever, whatever day of the week, you're going to see, you can do something very special. You can text the word decided to 51,000. You'll see it on the screen. We'll just send you some videos to help you start you on your journey with the Lord. That's all you have to do. So just text, take that phone out, text the word decided to 51,000. And then also, those online, you can just email decided to growth at tsc.nyc. It just starts your new walk with Christ. And so we want to help you on that new walk. You made the greatest decision of your life. Greatest decision of your life. It all starts today. So got there. Who knows? There may be pastors, writers that are here. Some of you are going like, you didn't say the last one. But when the faith is so deep, you're willing to stand for him. To say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stand for Jesus. We are so excited for what God has for every one of you.